Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, we read this verse of Scripture. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Notice, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. So, the Lord said to Israel through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 48, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. The Lord is interested in some things that are for our profit. Now, before you get all scared and think, oh no, Brother Welder's getting ready to go off on prosperity preaching. No, what I did is I went through the Bible and I looked for things specifically identified by the Lord as those things that would profit you and things that are profitable. And we're going to study those today because they are specifically identified in the Bible. What are some things in the Bible that God has taught us are profitable to us? In chronological order, in other words, as they appear in Scripture, we are going to find seven things the Lord specifically says are profitable. And the first one of these is labor. Labor. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. This is the first one we're going to look at. And then we're going to just keep going to the right in our Bible because we're looking at them as they appear in the Bible, in their chronological order. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In all labor there is profit. That's interesting. Unmistakably then, the Lord is identifying something that you need to do in order to profit. Labor. Labor is profitable. You must work. And because you must work, it is essential that you teach your children how to work. In other words, we live in a society that says get an education, go to college, and then come out and manage other people so that they can labor. I believe that it's a good idea to teach your children how to labor. Even if they never do in adulthood, they will know how, and that labor will shape them. They should help you repair things around the house. They ought to help you mow the lawn. They ought to help you work on the car, or if you don't work on your own car, at least they ought to help you keep it clean. They ought to do chores and other kinds of things that you can find for them to do to keep their minds and their bodies occupied. You ought to plant a garden if you have, you know, any room to be able to do it, even if it was a potted garden. You ought to grow a garden and let them get used to the idea of planting a seed, caring for the garden, cultivating, watering, and so they would appreciate what it takes to get food on the table. We had neighbors in a house that we lived in, and they'd gotten to an age where they couldn't garden anymore, but they had a great place for one. And so they could garden, but not to the extent that they used to. And so my neighbor said, you know what, if you'll till and prepare the garden, then we'll plant in halves. In other words, I'll plant my half, you plant your half. You can have half of my garden space. And so we got the children involved in that. And then we ended up with another house, and planted a larger garden and got the children involved in that. And there is truly a greater appreciation for the food on the table when you have something to do with growing it. Children are much better off learning to work than sitting around texting, playing video games, watching television, surfing the internet, and shooting off their mouth. Because they're learning a habit that is not labor. They're learning to be entertained. They're learning recreation. And when they get older, they are going to abhor anything that requires them to lift a finger and work. And they shouldn't do that. Dr. Ian Clark, who was an Irish doctor that went to Uganda to set up a clinic and eventually set up an international health center and some hospitals, he wrote a couple of books, and in his book, How Deep Is This Pothole? He said, in essence, that if a country could be built by a bunch of men sitting around talking, Uganda would be one of the greatest countries on earth. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And I noticed when we were in Uganda, there were lots of men sitting around talking. And basically, if they could just be fed by their wives or family, that meal or whatever during the day, then that was good enough for them. There was no incentive, no work ethic. Now, some men, they were subsistence farmers, and we saw them busy from sun up to sundown. I mean, really, but a great many men not working. Now, listen, you don't have to be rich to be profitable. In other words, you don't measure the profit of your labor by how rich you get. As a matter of fact, Solomon said, labor not to be rich. He said, that's not a good measure. But remember what he said, it is profitable to work. In all labor, there is profit. So apply yourself to it. Apply yourself to labor. All right, here's another thing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, so going to the right just a little bit, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, show you something else that the Bible says is profitable. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then he must put to more strength. Watch it. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, if you spend more time sharpening your axe than you do chopping, you will chop faster and you will use less effort to do it. And wisdom is what directs you to put some effort into sharpening before you put sweat into chopping. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, to whet the edge is to sharpen it, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. So if you want to chop down the tree and use less strength to get it down, then the best way, of course, to do that is to chop with a sharper axe. Wisdom is profitable. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, he said this, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now he's going to put the value on wisdom. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So the Lord said, I'm going to give you a value on wisdom. And he said, it's better than the merchandise of silver. It's better than the gain of fine gold. It's more precious than rubies. As a matter of fact, take all the things that you can desire and put those on one side of the scale. Those things are not to be compared to wisdom. Wisdom is better than all of that. Now, our world doesn't think like that today. Our world is very profit motivated. It's very money motivated. And there's an awful lot of effort spent on accumulating possessions, getting things. So if wisdom is profitable, then wisdom is better to have than the money, and better than the possessions, and better than anything you could desire. Wisdom in its own is very profitable. When you compare it to wealth, if you put the two on a scale, wisdom comes out better. Why is that so? Because a man can do more, much more, with wisdom than he can with money. Now, you may not believe that, but let me give you a comparison between a nation and a city. In 2 Kings chapter 17, We have a king over Israel in Samaria named Hoshea in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Verse 2 and on say this: he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Now watch how he used wealth to appease the Assyrian king. Verse 3, against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Now that went on for a little while. But then in verse 4, the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor by the river Gozan and the cities of the Medes. So here's a man that used money in order to appease a king, Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. And after he had sent as much money as he thought that he ought to king of Syria, the king of Assyria, the king got mad at him and then besieged the city and took the whole city and the country captive. It was a terrible outcome. You know what the problem was? No wisdom. But you find in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 a completely different outcome for a city. And watch the difference in value between wisdom and money. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Verse 14 and 15. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Well, there's no way that this little city with a few men in it could survive that type of siege by a great king with great bulwarks. There's no way. Impossible. They couldn't, if they scraped together every possession they had, all the cattle, all the sheep, all the goats, all the money, they couldn't do it. Watch what happens. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15. Now there was found in it, that is in this little city, a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, not his wealth, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Why? See, people place a higher value on money than they do on wisdom, and yet wisdom caused that man in an indefensible position to save that city, whereas King Hoshea could not save Israel. There were 10 tribes. They were defeated by King Shalmaneser of Assyria. Wisdom is profitable. I'll show you something else in the Bible that's profitable. Now we go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are looking at the Spirit, spiritual gifts in verse 1. And you run that whole chapter out, you see there are many members and there's diversities of gifts. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, here's what you read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Aha. The Lord has great work for us to do in the body of Christ. And so what he gives us is he gives us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are profitable. And when these gifts are manifested by the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, when it's given to every man, that's you, that's me, then they're given to us to profit withal. All right, so the Lord has great work for us to do in the body of Christ, and since we can do nothing without the Lord, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, then he gives us spiritual gifts in order to be profitable in the work that we do for him. Now, when these spiritual gifts are not mixed with charity, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they lose their profitability. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Do you see that? And then, you know, bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Spiritual gifts are profitable, listen, when they are mixed with charity. So if you want your work for the Lord to be profitable, then you need to do two things. Work with your spiritual gift and work with your spiritual gift charitably. Spiritual gifts are profitable. The reason is, you know, if you and I just set out and said, hey, we're in the body of Christ, let's go do something good for Jesus Christ. If we set out to do that and we worked as men, too much man, not enough God. We work as men to go do something good for God. You know something? It won't be profitable. But if we do that work in with the gift that the Spirit of God has given us, and we do it charitably, that is, with a charity toward men, from man to man, then that spiritual gift is going to be very profitable. It's going to be profitable to you for using it. It's going to be profitable to the work that you do, because now you're going to be doing that in the power and in the ability of the Spirit of God and not in your own ability. Here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What did he say there? He said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So godliness is profitable. He says so. And you know something? There is not nearly enough preaching on godliness today. And there needs to be more, because Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, there's your profitability. You want to have great gain in the earth? Be content. Be content with such things as you have. You want to have a great gain in the earth? Be content and mix that with godliness. We need more godliness in our lives. And when we have it, we will see more profit. You say, well, I'll get it, but where would I get it? Verse 7 tells you, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We get it by exercising ourselves unto godliness. You say, well, how? Well, it's like working out. Only you're working out spiritually rather than physically. You know what it is to go to the gym and work out physically, to pump iron, to run on the treadmill, to do the bicycle, to do the stair step, to play tennis, to swim, whatever you do. You know what that's like, play racquetball, whatever it is. You know what that's like. Physically, it gives you exercise. All right, you're exercising muscles. You're exercising your lungs and your cardiovascular system. Well, in spiritual matters, you need to exercise your knowledge of the Word of God. You need to exercise in prayer. You need to exercise in spiritual work. And that's where you get a godliness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you trying to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through the righteousness of God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, through His fruit, through the Word of God. And you know what the problem today is? Too much attention. I'm talking about Christians. Too much attention is on the body these days. That's right. You talk to a lot of Christians and they can tell you about health foods and they can tell you about supplements and they can tell you about the right kind of exercise. Hey, exercise is profitable. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Bodily exercise is profitable, but compared to godliness, it only profits a little. I get a little bit of exercise every day or most every day because it is profitable. But brother and sister, we need to exercise ourselves in godliness through our testimony, through doing the work that God has called us to do, through that spiritual work, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure, the Bible says. I'll give you something else that's profitable. Scripture. Scripture is profitable. You would know that. If I put these in order of importance, I'm sure that I would put Scripture right there at the top. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, all Scripture, you say, where am I going to find that? Right here in a King James Bible. You don't have to go back to Greek. You don't have to go back to Hebrew. You don't have to trust what somebody said about the originals. They don't even exist. You don't have to go back to manuscripts that are what they call the oldest and best. You just take this King James Bible right here, read it, study it, memorize it, believe it, do it. All Scripture, there it is right there. You've got it in your hand. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's that? That means that the Bible says in Job 32:8, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. All right, so inspiration is what gives you understanding in the Scripture. So when Scripture is given to you by the inspiration of God, you understand it, and if you believe it, it's profitable to you for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word works effectually in you that believe. That's why I said you need to believe it. He doesn't say it in this verse right here. He says it in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. There are a lot of people that mess around with the Scripture, but if they don't believe it, it doesn't work effectually in them. But if it works effectually in you because you believe it and it's given to you by the inspiration of God, it's extremely profitable. Sound doctrine is profitable. That's why Paul instructed, he was talking to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. He said, that's why I instructed you in these things. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He was teaching them doctrine. Doctrine is good for strengthening believers, and it's good for bringing the lost to Christ. Instruction is also profitable. Paul is very diligent in Titus chapter 3 to talk to Titus about how to teach other people about the good work that they're supposed to do. And he says in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, in these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Scripture is profitable. Reproof and correction are likewise profitable. Together, they make you perfect, truly unto all good works. Say, well, man, I'm learning some things. Yeah, labor is profitable. Wisdom is profitable. Spiritual gifts are profitable, particularly when they're mixed with charity. Godliness is profitable. Scripture is profitable. I'll tell you something else that's profitable. Good men. Good men are profitable. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes Timothy, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, John Mark wasn't so profitable to Paul in the beginning. He skipped out on him on the first missionary journey and left before they were finished with the journey. And Paul was upset about that and didn't want to take Mark with him early on in the ministry. But here he is at the end of his ministry, and he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. In the ministry, there's nothing like good men to help you in the work. Now, I thank God for the good men that we have been privileged to work with in the ministry. Other pastors have been a great source of wisdom and a great source of counsel. And men in our church who have helped have been invaluable as they carry on a significant amount of the load here. And they're truly profitable because by them, we can do way more for the Lord than we could ever do alone. So if you are in a local church and you want to really be a help, be a good man, and you find the place where God has given you a spiritual gift and use that gift charitably to be a help to your pastor and to your local church, I'm telling you what, good men are profitable. One more thing, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. It's not anything that you like, but it's good for you. Chastening. Chastening is profitable. Hebrews 12:10. For they, speaking of our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that is the Lord, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God knows just how to correct us. He knows just how to chasten us. And he's going to set it up so that if you need chastening and correcting, like we all do, he's going to set it up so that you find yourself in a position where he's going to chasten you at a time where you can learn from it. He wants us, through that chastening, to be partakers of his holiness. And he wants us, through his chastening, to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. So, as Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because the resulting holiness and the resulting righteousness are very profitable. And you know who they're profitable to? They're profitable to us. They're beneficial to us. Now, God has identified in the Bible these seven things we've studied today to teach us, as he said in Isaiah 48, 17, to profit by them. So let's review them one more time. In all labor there is profit. Labor is profitable. So don't be afraid of hard work. Wisdom is profitable. As a matter of fact, dedicate yourself more to the accumulation of wisdom than possessions, because wisdom's better than those. Spiritual gifts are profitable. And when mixed with charity, God can get something done through you way more than what you can get done for him. Godliness is profitable. So if you're going to be exercising routinely for your health, godliness, it's better to spend time on godliness than bodily exercise. In other words, make sure you're spending more time in the Bible and in prayer than you are on the treadmill. Scripture is profitable. That you should know already. If God gets it in you, it's going to really help you to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Good men are profitable. Be one of those. And chastening is profitable. When God comes down on you, learn the lesson so you don't have to repeat it again. And you know something? Those things will be profitable to you, and they'll be profitable to the Lord, and they'll be profitable to the ministry. May God bless you as you learn to profit from these things. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.